Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading a story called Stanville Creek by Late But Still Early, number one, off Reddit. So I really hope you enjoy it. If you do, let me know in the comments. Let's get started. I sat next to the weird kid on the first day of middle school. During first period, as the teacher droned on about timetables, he incrementally shifted his chair towards me and whispered in my ear, "There's a murderer in this town. Did you know that?" My family had just moved to the town from a different state, and had less than a week to settle in before school began. I was a small, timid 12-year-old girl with big glasses, joining as a new student in the 7th grade. The type that wouldn't talk unless I was spoken to, and do exactly what I was told. The gullible type to naively take everything at face value. I never had many friends, and I figured my prospects weren't great at this new school either. All the kids had a year to know each other already, and friendship groups seemed pretty much formed. Still, I was observant to their interactions, enough to realize this kid was most definitely the outcast. Too anxious to look at him, I stared wide-eyed towards the front and shook my head slowly. "It's true," he continued. "He's got long, sharp, crooked teeth, and smells of pee and rotten fish. One of his eyes is missing. He's just got an empty socket there." Ironically, pee and rotten fish was exactly what this kid smelled like. I tried not to breathe in as he leaned even closer. "He senses my fear," I thought, as I tried to stay as still as possible. Nobody else seemed to notice us at the back of the class next to the window. "If he catches you alone, he'll grab you and take you somewhere no one will find you. He'll shove things in your butthole from where you poop." He made a scratching sound with the end of his ruler on my desk. Crick, crick, crick. I crossed my legs tightly as I cringed in my seat. "And laugh when you scream. When he's had his fun, he'll cut you up and dump you in Stanville Creek. If you don't believe me, I can show you later. You can see bones in there if you look closely." Stanville Creek was a pond in a wooded area of town. On the way to school and back from my house, there was a sign pointing to a trail that disappeared into the depths of the woods. It read, "Sville Creek, 1.5 miles, indicating that it was a 1.5 mile walk away into that dark abyss. I later found out that it wasn't really a creek per se, just a large stagnant body of water inhabited by a lot of wildlife. The misnomer originated from its previous branching into the town's main river, but industrial works had somehow isolated it. He poked my face with a sharp end of a pencil, and I accidentally let out a loud yelp. "Stop messing around in the back," shouted the teacher. Everyone turned to look at us, and my face flushed red. The weird kid moved his seat back, grinning at me from ear to ear. I glanced at him for the first time. He was pale and lanky, with long, greasy black hair that almost covered his eyes and ran in strips down to his shoulders at the back. A snot booger hung from his left nostril. He had dark eyebrows and wore a green sweatshirt that was too big for him, with untied laces trailing from his dirt-covered black and white sneakers. For the rest of the day, he would periodically stick his tongue out at me and make scratching noises with a pencil on his desk. At lunch, he sat alone on a bench and kept staring at me. When it came time to go home, he was waiting to torment me again at the school gate. "The murderer's gonna get you," he mumbled as I walked past. "He likes little girls just like you. You're not going to make it home today." Terror engulfed me and my knees went weak. I backtraced my steps to the school gate and stared at him with bulging eyes. "Scaredy cat," he mumbled and started walking away. Instinctively, I followed him. "The killer can't take me if I'm not alone," I thought. He turned around. "Stop following me," he growled. He kept walking. I kept following him and he turned around again. A wicked idea popped into his mind and he flashed a grin. "Want to hear a story?" I looked at him blankly, which he evidently took as a yes. He continued walking. I noticed he had a slight limp as I followed behind him. "About 50 years ago, there was a really nice teacher working at our school called Mrs. Derry. She actually taught in our class. Anyway, she married one of the other teachers and they had 3 kids who went to the school. One day they got divorced and he got the kids. They all told her she had to leave the school on the last day of that year. When the next year started, she wasn't there." He paused for dramatic effect. "Guess where she went?" A different school?" I said quietly. "Nope. A new job?" "Nope. A different country?" "Wrong again. On the first day, a girl noticed a bad smell coming from the storage room outside the lunch hall. You know, the one with the door painted red? She opened the door to have a look." He paused again dramatically, as I remembered walking past that same red door earlier, and she saw Mrs. Derry's dead rotting corpse hanging from her neck off the ceiling. He grinned as my eyes widened, gleeful as he watched the psychological damage he had inflicted with a single sentence. I was walking shakily on autopilot, still trailing behind him. I inched closer to him as we walked past the Esville Creek sign. It was only a 15-minute walk back to my place. If my house hadn't been on the way to his, I probably would have ended up following him home. I'm gonna go now, I trembled as we walked past my house. He ignored me and just kept walking. I looked around like a deer and sprinted up the front steps where my mom let me in. Hey, sweetie, how was your first day? Good, I said, still trembling. I walked briskly past her up the stairs to my room, curling up in a ball on the floor. All I could think about that night was what I would find if I opened that red door outside the lunch hall, and how someone could die by being hanged from their neck. The next day, I sat beside the weird kid again, whose name was Will. He kept making faces at me every time I looked in his direction. Thankfully, we had different classes later in the morning, but even when he wasn't there, it was as if he had infested my mind. I still couldn't concentrate, and kept thinking about the serial killer and the teacher he'd told me about yesterday. At lunch, I walked past the dreaded storage room and stood outside the red door for a moment. I heard Will's voice behind me. I dare you to open it, he grinned. Hey, I'll give you a fiver if you open it. I reached for the handle, being in my nature to do as I was told. He came closer. In that moment, we were alone in the corridor. I turned the handle and pulled the door open just wide enough. Suddenly, I felt a strong push behind me. I stumbled into the storage room, and the door slammed behind me as footsteps darted away. It was pitch black in there. A foul, sweaty odor marinated in the warm humidity. I gagged and banged on the door as I fumbled around for the handle but couldn't open the door no matter how hard I tried. It slowly dawned on me that I was locked inside a room where someone had hanged themselves. I looked into the darkness. Then I heard the sound of something swinging, looked up and thought I saw a mangled, decomposed face looking down at me with a noose around its neck. I began screaming, "Help! Help! Help me!" I shrieked. I banged on the inside of the door as hard as I could, but no one came to save me. I kept shrieking for a good 10 minutes, banging with my hands and elbows like my life depended on it, which I thought it did. Finally, it opened. I fell into the cleaning lady's arms, pale and hyperventilating. My knuckles were beaten raw. My goodness, how did you get in there? I got stuck, I said, dazed. You poor thing. She patted my head and left. Will greeted me again at the school gates, a sick grin plastered on his face. I wanted to avoid him, but at the same time I was now deathly afraid of walking home alone. That was hilarious, he laughed. Did you even hear yourself? You sounded like a dying monkey, or a dolphin or something. I grimaced as we started walking. So, did you see a dead body in there? He taunted. I nodded. Really? Well, you better hope it's not hiding under your bed tonight, he smirked. I remained silent as ever. We walked for a minute, then he suddenly stopped and pointed at a window of the hospital close to the school. There's an old woman living in that room right there, he said. She's lying down so you can't see her, but sometimes she'll sit up and stare at you out the window, with 100 tubes coming out of her and all. He motioned with his hands as I looked away quickly. Then, he continued, when the sun sets, she sometimes climbs out of the window and finds people walking alone on the street. Kids, adults, old people, anyone. Then she claws at their necks with their nails and sucks their blood until they're dry. My middle school days pretty much continued like this. I was traumatized for a while after the storage room incident, but I was afraid that Will would do something worse if I tried to avoid him, or that a serial killer would get me if I walked alone, ironically, an idea he had planted into my mind, so I stuck with him. He waited for me at the end of every school day by the gate, and would have a new, horrifying, and totally age-inappropriate story to traumatize me with, based on random places we passed in the town. His stories progressively got wilder and more creative. You see this bridge? There was a problem with it just a few years ago. They didn't build it quite right. A pregnant woman was walking on it one day and it snapped. She fell into the river and drowned with her baby. Some kids went into that field for a camping trip and they never came back. Turns out one of them got bitten by a wolf with rabies and he started biting the others. They all died slowly and painfully, knowing they were dying but couldn't do anything about it, because, you know, rabies makes you go mad. He sometimes sprinkled in the odd horrific fact. If you cut someone's head off, they can still blink for 5 minutes. About 1 million kids get kidnapped every year. Did you know that? He always made it a point to meet me at the school gate every day, and over time it became our ritual. He was sick one day and didn't attend school, but he made it to the other gate at the usual school finishing time with a fever and sore throat, and walked straight back with me, informing me that some teachers in our school were spying on me at night or something. There's no way he'd miss a single opportunity to torment me, probably the highlight of his otherwise solitary day. I can't pinpoint exactly when my fear subsided and gave way to intrigue and entertainment, as I learned more about the world and realized not everything you hear is necessarily true. I began exploring the town, sometimes with my parents, and even with a new friend from the same math class on the weekends. Yes, I somehow made a friend, and we bonded over the fact that we both wore glasses. My dad took me to visit the hospital when he had a checkup. I discovered the room with the old lady was just an admin office. My friend and I went to the field where the campers went missing, apparently. There were no dead bodies forming at the mouth, and no rabid wolves. One day, I even opened the red storage room again. I was obviously seeing things in my panic when I had been locked in there. Nothing but a bunch of tools and cleaning supplies, with a conveniently placed mop that could have been mistaken for a head in the dark. Moving from 7th to 8th grade, I was surprised to find myself looking forward to our walks back home. Will caught on to my newfound skepticism, and figured the standard horror stories wouldn't cut it anymore. He changed tact quickly. Look, that's Ben's house. You know Ben in our class. You know why he's so fat? His mom's a butcher, and sometimes she puts kids' meat in his pies and makes sausages out of them for dinner. A kid in the year below disappeared last year. I think he ate him. So yeah, anyway, that's why you shouldn't talk to him anymore. He had really turned into a comedian. We became somewhat friends. We even started having normal conversations periodically. Stuff about schoolwork and other kids in the class. He stopped abruptly one day when we walked past the Esville Creek sign. You ever been down there? No, I replied. Of all the places in town, Stanville Creek was the only one I couldn't bring myself to visit in our small, relatively safe town that I had begun settling into. I never suggested going there to anyone, but I would think about what was down there often. At this point, I doubted there was actually a serial killer dumping bodies in there, but I just felt uneasy about it. Perhaps it was because that was my first introduction to the town, so I was still subconsciously afraid and couldn't control that. I couldn't put my finger on it. Come on, let's go then. I don't know, I said. What, are you scared? He sneered. Come on, don't tell me you actually think there's dead people there. I shrugged. You can hold my hand. He held his hand out, but I shook my head. Fine, whatever. I was surprised he didn't drag me down there. We kept walking, silent for a while before we got close to my house. You know all that crap I told you last year is fake, right? He paused. You do know that, right? I figured, I replied. Just checking. He walked off without a goodbye, but I was used to that now. I watched him head off onto the next road, the ever-present limp in his stride. On the last day of 8th grade, school ended early. I had last period with Will for that day, and he was expecting to leave with him as usual. They've built this new lounge place on the second floor. I'm gonna check it out, he said and bolted into the hallway, then up the stairs without warning. I naturally went up too. They had some beanbags, soccer balls, a PlayStation and DVDs. Wanna watch a scary movie? He grinned. No? Cool. He immediately picked up Friday the 13th and slotted it into the DVD player. I sat on one of the beanbags at the opposite end of the room. So, we're going to different high schools, I guess. Who are you going to follow around when I'm gone? I'll just have to find someone else, I shrugged. He looked disappointed for a second, but the expression faded quickly. Fair enough. Colored lines and pixels flashed across the grainy screen. This piece of crap's broken, he complained, as the screen went neon blue. Silence reigned. He turned to look at me, illuminated by the blue glow. I realized he looked different to when I first saw him. He was taller. His hair was cut shorter and he wasn't as scrawny. Even the snot that faithfully hung from his nostril before was gone now. Perhaps the changes had been so incremental that I'd barely noticed, after seeing him every day for the majority of 2 years. Why don't you stink of piss anymore? I asked. I know, what a question. For some reason, it felt right to say in the moment. I discovered what a shower was. Thanks for noticing, he mumbled. You're welcome. Why didn't you tell anyone I locked you in the storage room? His question caught me off guard. I took a second to think and came to the conclusion I was afraid of what he might do to me at the time if he found out I told someone. I don't know. He just looked down. I get that. Well, good thing you didn't. Good for you, I rolled my eyes. If you tell anyone about it, I'll have to shut you back inside. It's fine, I shrugged. There's no dead lady in there. You didn't sound fine, he scoffed. Shut up, I'm leaving. I got up and this time he followed me down the stairs and out of the empty school halls. I know the stuff you told me last year, you know, about the teacher and stuff was all fake, I began. But how did you come up with those stories? I mean, some of that stuff really scared me. That's because I was trying to, he snorted. But not all of it is completely fake. I came up with pretty much all of them from something I saw, but it wasn't nearly as interesting. I have trouble falling asleep most nights. I just lie in bed and come up with stories and stuff in my head to help me sleep. How do they help you sleep? I asked. Wouldn't they keep you awake? No, that's if you actually find them scary. I don't. They're just fun to think about, and before I know it, I've drifted off. The teacher who hanged herself story? He continued. Well, actually, there was a nice teacher who taught our class in 6th grade before you came, and she actually was called Mrs. Derry, and she actually was married to another teacher at school. She was the only one who really talked to me, so when she divorced him and left out of nowhere, I felt kind of angry. Maybe making up a story about her killing herself was a bit too far, but I didn't want to think she'd left me here alone. And the one about the old woman in the hospital? That was based off my grandma. She actually died of cancer. She went mad before she died, and it freaked me out. Lost her mind. I thought the only thing scarier than her was if she started climbing out the window like Spider-Man and became a vampire. The pregnant woman that fell off the bridge? That, he paused. That was based off my mom. She got pregnant and just left one day. That was 5 years ago now. I think she cheated on my stepdad. I haven't heard from her since. I don't know if she died or whatever, but I think it would be better if she did. I didn't want to think she left me on purpose. I hope she'd had an accident or something instead. Like, something she couldn't control that forced her to leave instead of actually wanting to do it, you know? His voice sounded strained. I'm sorry, I said quietly. Whatever, he said nonchalantly. It's in the past, you don't need to feel bad for me or anything. I continued to listen as he debunked the rest of the stories he had told me. The campers that died of rabies story was inspired by some kids he didn't like who went on a fishing trip. The story about the teacher spying on students, that had happened once in another school. The teacher was just a pervert and got fired. It wasn't the elaborate surveillance scheme he made it out to be. The one about Ben was because he was a big fat kid that bullied him for a while. So that's where all that came from? I said. So now you know. What about the one about the murderer at Stanville Creek? What's that based off of? He looked surprised, hesitating for a second as if he'd forgotten the explanation. Actually, that was the only one I made up from scratch. I just wanted to make up the most horrifying thing I could imagine to scare you with. He laughed. You really think the adults would let you walk home alone if there was an actual serial killer in town? Guess not, I said. We stopped as I had reached my house, and it dawned on me that this was our last walk back home. Will, I said with a firm tone. He looked at me. You've got to come to my 14th birthday party at my house. It's on Saturday. I told you this last year, he sighed, sounding frustrated. I can't. Why not? I just can't. This might be the last time I see you for a while. Can't you try or something? I pleaded. He glanced down to the side for a moment and finally back at me. Fine, he said. I'll be there. He flashed a rare smile. Okay. I ran inside excitedly as he turned and continued onwards. My parents were eager for me to have my first proper birthday party. I'd gone to places with them before to celebrate, but never really had one with friends. They were probably worried I had no friends at all. There were only 4 people invited to the party, but I was really just excited to see Will outside of school for once. I was certain he would show up, but he never did. I waited anxiously the whole day, and when my friends left, disappointment overwhelmed me. "Aw, sweetie, did you tell him it was today?" asked Mom. Don't take it personally, said Dad. As night came, the disappointment slowly grew into concern. I couldn't shake off the feeling that something bad had happened. Maybe he forgot. Maybe he decided not to come. Most likely one of the two. But I'd known Will for 2 years. Despite his abrasive cold attitude, I realized that he never failed to show up at the school gate, not even once, to walk me home. The conviction in his tone when he agreed to come to the party made me absolutely sure he would be there. Something wasn't right. I woke up at 2 a.m. in a cold sweat. I had to go to Stanville Creek. I didn't know why or what I was looking for. I just had an undeniable gut feeling that I would find answers there. The impulse was too strong to be ignored, and it took over me completely. I tiptoed past my parents, sound asleep in the room. I didn't bother to wake them. They would make me wait until daylight, and in that moment, there was no waiting. I put on my coat and grabbed a flashlight, then slipped out of the house into the dark street, blasting into a sprint. I felt my pulse pound in my temples as I ran as fast as I possibly could. For the first time, I traversed the sign that said Esville Creek, 1.5 miles, and descended into the depths of the woods without fear or hesitation. What am I thinking? I thought in my confused, panicked sprint. Why am I running out here, alone at night? Why am I so sure I'll find something here? I couldn't answer those questions. All I could do was keep running down the trail. I finally arrived at Stanville Creek. I aimed my flashlight at the circular pond with a diameter around 30 yards, thin forest surrounding the area. Lily pads floated on the surface, green algae strewn across the stagnant water. The moon and stars reflected faintly. It was quiet and serene, apart from the sound of my own breath and crickets. Nothing sinister, no bodies or blood in the water, just sleeping nature. Not much to see, after all. Not sure why I even came here, I thought. But it was kind of worth it. At the very least, I just felt relieved and partly accomplished that I had literally confronted my biggest fear to date. I walked a little around the perimeter of the grass and stood still for a second to appreciate the feeling of being alone there. Hopefully Mom and Dad are still asleep so they don't tell me off for sneaking out, I thought as I turned to leave. My urge had been satisfied. I whipped my flashlight around but aimed it back at something that suddenly caught my attention. Something black and angular next to the base of a tree that looked out of place in the distance. I walked towards it, and as I approached, recognized that it was a large black suitcase. Figuring someone had dumped it as trash, I looked at it for a while before I pinched the zipper and tugged on it, unzipping it halfway out of curiosity. Something slipped out, and it took me a second to register that it was a human hand. I don't remember much of what happened immediately after that. It's still a hazy blur, even after my parents put me through 2 months of therapy. According to them, I burst in through the front door screaming at them to call the police, that there was a body in a suitcase. The remains were promptly investigated and discovered. Before the policeman even sent the body for identification, I told them it had to be my friend Will. They asked me how I was so sure, and I told them I wasn't sure myself. I was only able to piece it all together years later, after the reports came out. On the afternoon, Will had agreed to come to my party. He made a decision after we parted ways. Instead of going home, he headed to the police station. He headed there to report years of daily XA against him by his stepfather, who warned him that if he ever told anyone, he would be dismembered and thrown into Stanville Creek. Unfortunately, his stepdad was driving home on a nearby road and spotted him walking in the opposite direction to their house. They got into a confrontation. The exact details are still murky, but all I know is that it resulted in Will being murdered by his stepdad. His stepdad was a tall, overweight man with long, sharp, crooked teeth that stank of piss and rotten fish. He had one of his eyes surgically removed from a disease in his childhood and wore a patch over the empty socket. As soon as he was arrested, he admitted everything. The almost daily rape of his stepson over 5 years after the departure of his ex-wife and the eventual murder. I blamed myself for a long time. Despite talking to Will every day, I realized how little I really knew about him. I never asked why he couldn't go to other people's houses or on school trips. I blamed myself for not recognizing the signs. After all, the stories he used as a coping mechanism for the horrors he endured in real life. As he walked me home safely every day, he returned to face those horrors alone every night. And now, blind as I was, to overlook the first and most disturbing story he ever told me could never have been conjured up out of thin air. I moved to a new town after high school and life was good. I have two kids of my own now, aged 7 and 10. My favorite thing to do is tell them stories as I walk them home from school. It reminds me of those middle school days I miss every so often. Looking forward to a new story as I walked home with a real friend, who hid secrets I could never have guessed as he kept me company. Sometimes I'll tell my kids a scary story in honor of those times. Something age-appropriate, of course, but still jarring enough to remind them to be vigilant about the very real evil that lurks in our world. And someday, I'll tell them this story, but that'll have to wait a while. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, consider liking the video if you're on YouTube. Let me know in the comments below what you thought. And subscribe if you'd like to hear more stories from me. If you're on the podcast or wherever else, I'm not sure what your options are, but I appreciate you for listening nonetheless. A huge shout out again to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. And if you'd like to, come join our Discord and say hello. It'd be nice to see you there and come hang out with a great group of people, honestly. And if you'd like to see your story read on this channel, go to storiesaftermidnight.com where you can send it in and see other links and stuff like that to be involved in the community. So I hope you enjoyed your stay here. I appreciate you for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Welcome